All right, our next guest here is Mark Smith. Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Born and raised in Florida, started writing songs in my teens, but it was while I was living in Atlanta working in radio in the 1970s and 80s that I got homesick for Florida, and that's when the Florida topics started finding their way into my lyrics. And honestly, except for having heard Gamble Rogers' name and never seen him perform, sadly, I did not realize there was a body of work, Florida folk music. And it wasn't until I was working for the Florida Park Service in the late 80s, and I guess it was about 1990, Ann and Frank Thomas were doing their show on WMNF, Songs of Florida. And they got a group of park rangers together because they thought, well, who better to write songs about nature and Florida history? And there were a few guys that already knew Ann and Frank. And so they got us around a campfire at Wakiwa Springs State Park one night. And I played a couple of my Florida songs. And Frank said, boy, you ever been to the Florida Folk Festival? I said, no, sir. He said, you ever heard of Will McLean? I said, no, sir. He said, well, we need to get you into this. So that's kind of my pipeline into Florida folk music, where I've been now. I performed at my first festival here 30 years ago.
I guess if Frank was around, he'd say, son, you've justified your existence.
I've heard him say it. That's really a great line. That's very affirming, isn't it?
Yes,
you've justified
it
your existence. Yeah. You can quit now.
What do you think about when you think about the Florida Folk Festival?
I mean, it's a lot of different things to many people, but people need traditions. And the people, just like others you've spoken with, even today, who this is part of their family heritage, that's a deep meaning. That is a really strong platform to build your life on, some of those unchangeables like that. But it's also many voices, and I don't just mean the sounds of people's voices and their music. It's the cultures that are represented. It's the time periods that are represented. My God, these layers of Florida all in one place. Florida is such a blur of things, even now, more than ever. It's like, how would you identify Florida? But when you start peeling back these layers through time, or just zeroing in on a culture or a way of life, that's the beauty of the Florida Folk Festival, to me.
Yeah, it's all in one place.
All in one place in 3 days. But it's a little different every year, and that's beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm. Every year there's new performers that shine.
It's true.
From out of nowhere.
Isn't that exciting?
And we have one of those here in the room. We'll bring her up in a little bit. Talk to her.
I had the good fortune of meeting her before the festival. And
we're talking about Sarah McCullough.
Yeah, Sarah McCullough. And I think since she's in the room, I probably ought to do the song that she and I just wrote together.
Okay.
First co-write for me and my life. First co-write for her and her life.
Oh,
neither
boy.
One of us knew that until we got through with the song. So.
What kind of face are you giving us?
Happy. I don't know.
At first I thought it was the stink eye, but
no.
Well, you came to the wrong place.
Mark, over the years, Mark is known to listeners of when I was at WMNF and also here as the Lighthouse Keeper.
Yeah.
That's your only album, right?
Oh, no, I have four albums of Florida songs.
Oh, I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Four albums of just my songs.
I need to get the
other three. Yeah, you
do. Yeah.
four albums of mine, 94, 96, 98, and 2008. But really the project that drew me into the Florida folk community was in 1992 after Hurricane Andrew. I saw all the carnage, the devastation on TV, and you know, there was that business model from Michael Jackson and others of doing these big group gatherings of musicians to raise money. And I was just this unknown at the time folk songwriter, but I did know Anne and Frank then. And I wrote a song called The Wild Winds Come, and I was living in Gainesville, still do, and happened to have a friend who had some means, and she said, look, I'll underwrite anything that's not donated. I said, Frank, let's get all the folk singers together that you can get here, and let's record this song, put it on an album. Each person can add one of their songs, and we'll sell this thing to raise money. That project came together like a miracle in 10 days. We were on the radio, all because it was radio ready. I mean, I'd worked in radio for years, so I knew what it took to have a radio ready project. So did the folks at Mirror Image Studio. So that song, The Wild Winds Come, played all over the state. And then Dale Crowder, Marie Knopf Singer, Whitey Markle, Don Grooms, Bobby Hicks. It was just a list of, and I'm just standing in awe of all of these people because I'm really meeting them for the first time. So it was on the heels of that that I really began to perform.
Well, are you going to play the song that you and Sarah co-wrote?
I am indeed.
I'm excited.
Sarah hadn't heard me do it live yet. This is the sound of a musician getting ready to play. Thank you for your patience.
The little cough, the little clearing of the phlegm.
Yep.
Tuning of the E string. All necessary parts of getting ready to play. Right, Tim?
Absolutely.
So, you look at a situation, it's very common, trying to preserve a river or a body of water or the quality of the aquifer and all the work that goes into that, and these voices in the environmental community who seem to only talk to each other, or at least the hands really don't cross that gap between them and all the ones using the water, needing the water for day-to-day life, and I'm talking specifically about agriculture. And I, working with the Park Service, but then also on the Itchituckney Alliance board for a year and a half, I saw this up close, and I felt like, you know, we got to build bridges. People have to be talking to each other. And this song does not offer any solutions. It doesn't take any positions. It just states the fact that the water's there, and here's what's going on. This is called What the Black Dirt Drinks. I wrote the lyrics, and we thank Sarah McCullough for the music. These black dirt roads run down to the river where we go to cool off when we're done at the farm. It's got more going on than a three-ring circus, than a wallpaper hanger only got one arm. 'Cause it's there for the crops, it's there for the babies in the little white house about 2 miles down. We gotta figure out how we're all gonna share it, all the folks in the country and the ones in town. That river never met even one politician. It don't really care what anybody thinks. But when the levels get low, everybody knows that Blue River water's what the black dirt drinks. Yeah, that Blue River water's what the black dirt drinks. Black dirt, black dust when the tractor is plowing in the mud, grip tires on a 4x4. If the rains don't come, it needs irrigating, pulling liquid from the ground underneath the floor. I wonder, can it feel that change in the pressure, or does it just flow like a mighty flood? I think it's gotta feel something when the pumps are running, 'cause that blue water river's bleeding water like blood. Yeah, that blue water river's bleeding water like blood. blood. That river never met even one politician. It don't really care what anybody thinks. But when the levels get low, everybody knows that Blue River water's what the black dirt drinks. That Blue River water's what the black dirt drinks. There's deer in the woods, turkey in the fields, acres of corn growing tall and green. They all need the dirt, all need the water, no right or wrong or in between. That river never met even one politician. It don't really care what anybody thinks. But when the levels get low, everybody knows that Blue River water's what the black dirt drinks. Yeah, that Blue River water's what the black dirt drinks. What the black dirt drinks.
Right. That's fabulous, fabulous song.
We got to work that out. There you
go. That's interesting. What came to mind was the word Osceola, stands for black drink singer.
Yeah,
in the Seminole language.
Right.
Yeah.
But so you said Sarah wrote the guitar part for that?
Sarah wrote the melody.
The melody. Okay.
Yeah. Sure did.
There you go. Yeah, it had a very Sarah McCulloch feel to it.
Yes, and I'd really like to hear her do the whole thing vocally.
That'd be
great. In fact, I wrote it for that reason. We just haven't had a chance to put that together yet. So, but anyway, what a privilege to work with her. I mean, first co-write, I'm kind of starting at the top there, working with her. I have tremendous respect for her, instant fan.
Yeah, no, she's great. I get excited every time she comes to our radio show or our Monday night folk night. Just always, always enjoyable.
Where are you living now?
Live in Gainesville. Been there 35 years. Don't plan to leave. It's a beautiful place for a lot of reasons. But one thing I really appreciate, and we can end with this if you want to, is it's special to live in a place that is defined by migrations. And a lot of those things are going on around us anyway, especially with birds, the not-so-obvious birds. But the sandhill crane flyway to Payne's Prairie goes right over my house. When they come and when they leave. And we talked about the rhythms and rituals of the Florida Folk Festival. Having that sound pour out of the sky twice a year in great volume, and sometimes under the moonlight, is just breathtaking. I don't want to live anywhere else. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Before we leave, let's say do a shout out to our friend Betty.
Oh yeah, Betty Phelps. Betty Phelps has supported my music since day one. In fact, her late brother Roy Lowe, the very first time I played the main stage here at White Springs, it was a daytime show and a torrential downpour, and on that entire massive sloping lawn, there was one man in a chair and a blue raincoat, and he sat there for my entire set. He had seen me at the Will McLean Festival. I didn't know him at the time, and so he tracked me down here, and that was Betty's initial pathway into knowing my music was through her brother, Roy.
Okay. Betty always, I mean, almost every week when I was at WMNF, she'd call up and say, can you play the Lighthouse Keeper? Mark yep. Smith and... some days I just come in and do it and say, hey, Betty, this is for you.
That's right. A story from her family's life that I was privileged to turn into a song.
Yep. Fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks,
guys. Enjoy the rest of the festival.
All right. Will do. Thank you.
Let's give him a hand.